Happy Easter, everyone. Easter is such a special day because Jesus' resurrection is the joy of his friends. Are you his friend? Are you his friend in heart? That is what we are here today to celebrate, because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. Yes, because Jesus lives, whatever problem you have is never a problem to despair, to destruction, to death. Because Jesus has conquered death and he has made it possible for you and I to have eternal life.
Happy Easter. Jesus' resurrection is the joy of his friends. And what? The terror of his enemy. The terror of Satan. The terror of demon. The terror of darkness. Why? Because the overcomer is real and living in our midst today. That's why we celebrate the joy of resurrection. We don't celebrate death. We celebrate life. Thank you, Jesus. So happy Easter to all of you. Anywhere you are connected, today is a day of joy. A day that shows that our faith is real.
Amen.
Our faith is not based on history, on philosophy, on stories. Our faith is based on the act of God, on Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. We need to understand what's the meaning of that.
Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever.
In his heart.
Yes.
Who can understand?
No. Oh, no.
Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoke to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you here who do not believe. Therefore, I've said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him by my Father. Do you also want to go away?
No.
Lord, where should we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yes.
The first time Jesus said, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Mm. Before he said that, because people followed him after he multiplied the bread and the fish. Mm. And people ate and they were happy because of the miracles. And Jesus said, I know many of you are following me because of miracles. Mm. But there's something far more important than that. Labor for what gives you eternal life. Mm. This is the message. Eternal life. Eternal life.
Eternal life.
I want to be
eternal life.
God save my soul. I want to live eternal life. God save my soul. Eternal life. What does eternal life mean to you? What does it mean to you, my brother, my sister, or mother watching us? What's the meaning of eternal life? If you were to define eternal life, Ruth, how will you say it? Eternal life. Go and read your Bible. No man that influences the thinking of human being has never said what Jesus Christ has said. Jesus came and said, I am the bread of life. John 6:35. And they say, oh, Moses gave us the manna in the wilderness. He said, yes, they ate the wilderness. They ate the manna in the wilderness and they all died. But he who eats the bread I will give him will never die.
No one has ever, ever said that.
That's what Jesus said. He will never die. They say, how could he say you never die? All the prophets die. Even Abraham died. Jesus said, he who eats my flesh
and drinks my blood.
Shocking words, huh? We'll never die. We have eternal life. How can this man give us flesh to eat and his blood to drink? We all have read that scripture. And everybody asks himself, what's the meaning of that bread? The same thing Jesus said to the Samaritan woman. He who drinks the water I give him will never thirst again. Means you never hunger again. Let's listen to what Jesus said. Listen to his words.
Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will never
die.
And I will raise him up at the last day. This is the topic of today. Jesus is saying eternal life starts here. That's what he's saying. Eternal life starts here as I'm talking to you. I don't know about you. May I have eternal life? That's my conviction, and I have it. What about you?
Yes.
What about you watching me? If you know you have eternal life, why are you so afraid and terrified about death? That's the question. If Jesus said, he who believes in me, have eternal life. Right here. And I will raise him up on the last day. We are going to talk about this. When Jesus turned, everybody went and abandoned him.
Do you also want to go away?
No.
Lord, where should we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yes.
But that's the most important thing that Jesus was telling them. He said to the disciples, you, where can't you go? Peter said what?
Where can we go?
Where are we going?
You have the words of eternal life.
You have the words of eternal life. Look, when we are focused too much on material things, money, all these things, we have the tendency to neglect eternity. That's why today, people are so rushing to get wealth, to accumulate money, in complete neglect of eternity. And Peter said to him, you have the words of eternal life. This holy Bible, these words, you see, they are spirit
and life.
And they are life. When we neglect this word, we neglect eternal life. The words Jesus spoke, if it sink deep into your heart and the Holy Spirit open your heart to understand his words, you will have joy. Your joy will go to heaven. You will have peace. If I have eternal life, and Jesus said words more provoking to the human reason than that, Let's go to John chapter 11. Let's listen from verse 23.
Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day."
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life."
Stop. What happened here? Lazarus died. Mm. Am I right? Lazarus died. And Lazarus was buried, was in the tomb for 4 days. Mm-hmm. So Jesus came to the graveside of Lazarus and spoke to the sister, Martha. Can you start from verse 22? Let's listen to what Martha said from verse even 21.
Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here,
my brother wouldn't have
died."
We are all Christian. Let us be honest. If you lose a Christian, we lose somebody, we begin to mourn. We begin to cry as if it is finished. We have many God generals. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the prophets of old. They are not longer here physically. Hmm. But does it mean they are lost? No.
They've gone home.
We say gone home. Now, don't forget what Jesus said in Luke chapter 20, verse 38. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Jesus Christ is not the Lord of the dead, but the Lord of the living. What kind of life are we talking about? Those who have eternal life.
Does that mean our spirit is alive?
Your spirit and your soul. We have what we call, God said to Adam, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, 2, 3, "When you eat the fruit of this tree, in disobedience to my command, you will die." So, God was not referring to physical death, as we all know. But the devil tell them that this is physical death. You will not die. Eat it, you will not die. God was referring to spiritual death. What is the word death? Death is separation. When the body and the soul separate, that is death. But there is a death, spiritual death, when our spirit is separated from God. Mean no more communication. As the dead person can no longer communicate with the living. But that does not mean he's gone forever. But God say that person is alive. That's why Jesus said to them, when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, he said, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Jesus spoke about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as people that are living, not dead people. And the Bible is clear. Once you believe in Jesus, in spirit and in truth, once you are born again, eternal life has started. Eternal life is a spiritual side of your life. This body we have is not eternal. This body has what? Beginning and?
End.
What is the beginning? Natural birth on the earth. When you are born from your mom, you have a name. They register you. And the day a person died, they say he's dead. We remove from the register, declare him deceased. It's over. That's for the body. But what about our spirit? When does eternal life start in the spirit? When? It starts when you truly believe in Jesus Christ and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, believing his resurrection from the dead.
So that means the resurrection of Jesus is so crucial.
It's absolutely fundamental. This is the fundamental of our faith. Do you know that in the Bible, many people early believed in Jesus, right? And came to the church and was worshiping. And they never believed the resurrection. What happened? They never received the Holy Spirit.
So that means they just thought he was a good teacher and a good prophet.
Yes.
But they didn't believe what he said about himself.
If you don't believe in Christ's resurrection, how will you receive eternal life and Holy Spirit? That's the foundation of the Christian faith. Can we just go back to it quickly? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. We are going back to the foundation.
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
You hear that? If you believe, if you will confess with your mouth, everybody know how to do it. We all know how to confess with our mouth in the altar call. Jesus, Lord. But the second part is the most difficult. What did he say?
and believe in your heart.
Believe in your heart, believe in your spirit.
That God has raised him from
the dead. That God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead.
You will be saved.
You will be saved.
So that saved means eternal life.
That's
for your spirit.
Good. Continue verse 10. Next verse. Listen.
For with the heart one believes unto righteousness.
With your heart, with your spirit, you believe unto righteousness, which is eternal life.
And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
You confess with the mouth unto salvation. Oh my God. You can see, this means the word of faith that saves you is in your heart. You have to believe Christ's resurrection from the dead. If you hear Jesus crucified, that's why we talk about Easter. There are two sides of it. He went to the cross. He was crucified, and he gave up the spirit to the Father at the cross for our redemption, right? But Jesus was in the heart of the earth, 3 days, three nights. On the third day, he rose from the dead. Oh, my God. Let's go back to John, because I was just telling you the importance of believing Christ's resurrection. This is the foundation of Christian faith. Jesus has demonstrated that he's worthy of being the object of our faith unto salvation by believing his resurrection from the dead. If truly you are a Christian, you have no doubt that Christ has risen from the dead. He's alive as I'm talking to you. He knows you, he sees you, and he is the living Christ, Jesus, in the power of resurrection of the Holy Spirit. He's alive. That's why I say, because I live, you live.
He's alive, amen.
Mm-hmm.
He's alive, amen.
Jesus is alive, my Savior. He's alive, amen. That is very important, that he is alive. So you are talking to somebody who is alive, somebody who will answer you, somebody who sees you, somebody who knows you, who knows your thoughts and everything about you.
And
a
that
living God we are serving.
Is the reason you can face whatever challenge you face. That's the reason you can face tomorrow. Whatever challenge, whatever difficulty may come in the future, because Jesus lives, you can face it. Because he's already defeated death for you and me.
Hallelujah.
So that means anything else compared to Jesus is not a big deal.
That's why you have to believe Jesus for eternal life. Reset your belief. If you have been believing Jesus only for healing and for blessing, it's time to reset your belief right now.
It's true.
The part of you that is sick, that is lacking, is this tent, this body. What about your spirit and your soul before God? Continue reading.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live.
Oh my God, let's stop there. What does this mean to you? He who believes in me, Jesus Christ, though he may die,
yet he shall live.
Yet he shall live. How can this be? It's a contradiction. Here in the earth, when you die, they say he's gone. That's what we say. What a terrible mistake we do. Today, we say we believe in Jesus. But when we lose somebody, we begin to cry as if the end has come. That person is not lost. That person is waiting for you over there. All the saints that lived before us in Christ Jesus are not lost. They are very much alive in the heavenly realms. That's what Jesus is talking to you and me. He who believes in me, even though he
may die, he shall live.
He shall live. That's what Jesus said. So why are you afraid of death?
I think because we focus so much of our lives, of our everyday decisions in our life, just on the natural. That is why we're afraid of death, because we don't want the natural life to come to an end.
That's why when a saint departs, I don't say die, I say departs. I will tell you why. We should rejoice and celebrate his life, not cry. We should celebrate and life, not death. If you know the importance of eternal life, if you know the value of Jesus Christ of Nazareth in your life, oh my God, you will rejoice. Even though you lack, you don't mind, because you have Jesus. You have the fountain of life.
And that is a decision that you do have to actually make here whilst on this earth. And I think that's why it's so important for us to remind ourselves to do things because of eternal life. Because I remember you said one time that here, Jesus is our savior to save us on this earth. If we believe in Jesus, the promise is there for us to have eternal life, even now. The promise is there for our spirit, our soul, to have life in Christ. But over there, we meet him as judge.
Absolutely.
Meaning that here is opportunity for you to have faith, to believe. That's why we need to make the most of this time.
What are you doing with Jesus in your life? You can ask a lot of questions, but over there, no question. Answer will wait for you. The Bible says, if somebody leave this earth without the knowledge of Christ, that person will have more questions to answer over there than when he was alive. The question, what seems easy, we don't value it. What is the value of Jesus? What's the value of Easter? What's the value of resurrection? Sometimes we are on the surface. When Jesus came, the first thing God, the reason why Jesus sent, God sent Jesus, is eternal life. When God created Adam and Eve, there was no death. You can see the first people that lived on earth, they were living 200, 300, 400, 500, 900 years. But the corruption of sin came progressively, and death spread to all human beings. That's what the Bible says. The soul who sins is the soul who dies. Ezekiel chapter 28, from verse 24, down 4 and 24. Jesus has come to deliver you and I from death.
And spiritual death, which comes from sin. Because the soul that is in sin, is sick, is dying. And that is what Jesus came to deliver us from spiritual death, which comes through sin.
The reason why we show you those two drama is to reset your focus to believe Jesus for eternal life. Why did the apostles of old follow Jesus, suffer persecution even to death? Who will believe to death something earthly? Why they were not afraid of death? Why many of them were martyred and persecuted, but they believed stood? Because they knew what eternal life means. Remember the words of Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 to 21.
For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better.
You hear? I desire to depart. A Christian does not die, he departs. That's why when a saint or a believer leave this earth, I don't use the word dead, I say depart. He departs of this earth to another world. Who is departing? Not this body, but your spiritual side, soul and spirit will depart to be with the Lord. We need to understand that. Jesus said, when you believe in him, you are born again. Which part of you is born again? Your spirit. You are born of the Spirit. You have a new spirit. You have a new heart, a new conscience. That part is new. Born again.
That's what Jesus explained to Nicodemus.
Yes. And when you have been born again, Holy Spirit will dwell in the new spirit that is pure. Holy Spirit cannot dwell in an unholy place.
That means you can't have the Holy Spirit in you if your spirit, your soul is not revived, born again, new.
Now, I want to show you something. Let's talk about something. We'll talk about Lazarus. Okay, we talk about resurrection. Do you believe you yourself one day you will rise from the dead? If you see man in the natural, some believe, oh, it's only here. After we die, it's over. But the Bible never says that. The Bible says that the day there is a separation between the body and the soul, that which is dust will go back to the dust. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Let's listen to what God said. Because of sin, because of disobedience, spiritual death came to all men. And that's what the Christ has come to resolve.
In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. Out of it you were taken.
Yes.
For dust you are, and to dust you shall return.
That is it. I mean, every man born of man and woman will go back to the dust. This body came for a man or woman. If you go back to the dust, yours, everybody, everyone. The only thing that is sure on earth is this physical death. Everybody will go through it. Everybody. So why are we such afraid for something you cannot dodge? Is human life like a light of candle that will go off forever and stop there? No. There is more to life than meets the ordinary eyes. There's more to human being than this body. That's what Christ has come to reveal, whom you are in Christ. Once we understand the divine meaning of Easter, once we understand the purpose of Christ, then we begin to realize who we are.
Mm.
We begin to realize who God is, and we begin to have relationship with God in spirit and in truth. You begin to have visions of what is happening tomorrow. You begin to have relationship with the Holy Spirit in your heart. Your conscience become alive. God is no longer a foreigner, not something strange. Until I say, oh, this is esoteric, this is mystic, this is strange. It's not strange, it is reality for the spiritual person. Now, let's continue back to John. That's the Easter we are talking about. Martha said to Jesus, if you were here, verse 21, my brother would not have died. Because her purpose, she does not want Lazarus to die. We human beings, we live as if we are eternal. Nobody thinks about death. We reject the thoughts of death.
We try to ignore it and imagine that it's just not going
to
happen.
We even don't want to think about it. Even the biggest sins, a man of faith, when death comes, say, hey, no, not yet. We live as if we're eternal here on earth. This body is not eternal.
Mm.
The part of you that is eternal is your spirit and your soul.
We've been given a grace of time and space to act in.
That is just it.
And it is a grace from God. Life is a gift.
Now, we celebrate Easter. The whole world celebrates Easter. Today, if you go to many houses, people are on the beaches, people are on the golf course, celebrating Easter, eating good food. What about Jesus? Is Jesus at home in your heart? Is Jesus in the midst of your spirit? Homelessness is man's condition without God. If you don't have Jesus, for God, you are homeless. In the streets, some people are homeless, but the terrible homeless, when your spirit is naked, then your soul is naked, erring in the darkness without a home. That's the one Jesus comes to solve.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die.
Let's break it. Whoever lives and believes in me, Jesus Christ, shall never die. That's what the Lord said. It looks like a contradiction. The first one is say, he who believes in me, even though he die, will live. And they say, he who believes in me will never die. What is Jesus talking about? He talking about your spiritual man. It is our spirit, our soul, our heart that believes in Christ. That soul, that spirit will never die. I mean, you have eternal life. Now, from here, eternal life starts. Now, right on this earth, God is here. As I'm talking to you, Holy Spirit is here. As I'm talking to you, God is here. Heaven is here in your heart. Oh my God. Why we allow Satan to blindfold us, to focus on the natural, to focus on what you see, and you completely lose sight of eternity, of God with you. Our mind becomes carnally minded. We think about earthly things, and we value earthly things more than eternal life. And that's the truth. If we understand the meaning of eternal life, if you understand it's life after life, you will never cry. You will rejoice. That's what Jesus said. A little while you will see me no more. A little while you will see me. And your joy will be great and nobody can remove your joy. Once you understand this, you will understand why Peter, John, Bartholomew, the 12 apostles, in the midst of life threat, was singing with joy because they know that this body, nobody can remove it. You can remove this body, but not their soul. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Listen to what Jesus told them, and they so much believe and know the truth.
And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. God.
Read it again slowly. Listen to what Ruth is saying.
And do not fear.
Do not fear.
Who kill the body.
Those who can kill this body.
But cannot kill the soul.
But cannot kill your soul. I mean, there are two lives in you. Soul and body.
But rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body
who
in hell.
Who can destroy both soul and body in hell? Jesus is the one talking.
Meaning that Jesus has power over every part of your
this
life.
This means hell is a reality. Jesus said it.
Yeah.
Do not fear the one who can kill this body. This body will never go to heaven. It will go back to the dust. But fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. That's what Jesus said. And that's the truth that should awaken our spirit, that there is life after life. That one day we will face God one day. And the day of that judgment. It's true. absolutely true. That's what Jesus said. Let's go back to John. Mean there are two deaths. The body can die and the spirit can die. But when you have Jesus, the spirit will live forever. We have death on earth in the body and we have another death over there. The second death. When the soul and the spirit will cast into the hell forever. That's what the Bible says to those of you. And God's word, Jesus even speaking, will never fall to the ground. Whether you believe or not, the moment this body is separated from the soul, you leave this earth, immediately the consciousness of heaven will come to you. Mm. Immediately. And you cannot come back. It's too late. Go back to John, sorry.
She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, and the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And when she said this, these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you."
Good. Go back to verse 23. There's something she said that I want to say again to you.
Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again."
Your brother
said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day."
You hear that? Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." She said, "I know my brother will rise again on the resurrection on the last day." We're going to talk about that. But Jesus will not talk about, okay, now resurrection. There are two types of resurrection, which we want to talk about to you today. And we are going to use the resurrection of Lazarus as example. Compared to the resurrection of Jesus. What was the difference between the two? That's what Jesus was saying. Martha was thinking about resurrection of the last day for judgment. But he said, no, I'm talking about resurrection today, which nobody has ever seen. He said, this man died. He's in the grave since 4 days, decomposed. He's smelling. You say this guy can come back to life again. Nobody said. Jesus said, if you believe,
you will see the glory of God.
Continue reading.
Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
Can't you imagine? They say, "Jesus, if you have not delayed, my brother wouldn't have died because you will heal him." We only focus on healing. We only focus on this earth. That's we. It's like we can't see beyond the natural. But Jesus sees beyond the natural. If you have been there, it's too late. My brother said, "Die, it's gone, it's over." But Jesus says it's not over. When it is over with man, that's the beginning with God. Continue.
Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?"
No.
They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? I'm asking you the question. Jesus wept. What do you think can cause Jesus to weep? Because of the unbelief in the hearts of people. Jesus wept because God can do nothing without believing. He came to save and to offer eternal life, but nobody believes it.
That was why in his own town, he said that a prophet is little honored where he's come from. And that is why he was not able to perform so many miracles, because of the unbelief of the people, because they were seeing him just in the natural light.
Jesus wept twice because of unbelief. For Lazarus, and the day he entered on Palm Sunday to Jerusalem. Jesus looked at the city.
Jerusalem.
He wept over the city because you have not understood the day of your visitation.
And he knew what was coming. He knew that just 50 years after his death and resurrection, they would come and destroy the temple.
Jesus said, Jesus saw it. He said, "I come to gather you like a hen wants to gather his chicks, but you didn't want it." The greatest trouble is ignorance. Ignorance is unbelief.
Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him."
See how we loved him.
And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?"
Can't you hear that? They say, this man Jesus, he opened the eyes of the blind. We have seen it. He cleansed the leopard. We have seen it. The lame walk. Why can't this man stop this man from dying if he's his best friend?
Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, The sister of him who was dead said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days.
Stop. This is the matter to whom Jesus said, if you believe. We all say we believe. We believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe. Do you believe in resurrection? Mm. Martha spoke as if she believed in resurrection. But when Jesus said, remove the stone, he said, Master, no. It's 4 days he died. He's smelling. He cannot come back again.
Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days.
4 days? It's impossible.
Jesus said to her.
Jesus said,
did I not say to you,
did I not tell you,
if you would believe,
if you believe in me,
you would see the glory of God.
What does it mean? Jesus said, if you don't believe in me, the resurrection and the life, you have to believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life. You have to believe Jesus has risen from the dead and he will raise you from the dead. That our faith is in Christ. His death and resurrection for you, if you believe, you receive the gift of righteousness, eternal life. That's what he said. Continue.
Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they could believe, that they may believe that you sent me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth.
Lazarus, come forth. And what happened?
And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth.
Let's stop there. Lazarus was a man like you and I. He fell sick, a deadly disease, and he died. Then they took him to the tomb and they buried him. After 4 days, the body began to decompose. There is a stench. When Jesus called him back to life, Lazarus came out, but in that body, no sickness. He was made whole. What happened at that moment? I want to explain to you. Let me show you one diagram, try to explain. We are going to compare. In the Bible, we have many cases of resurrection in the Bible. So many. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, Ruth, can you go to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 23, even 22. So.
Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him.
Read before. The boy was dead. Read verse before.
Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?
Mm-hmm.
And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him.
Come on. When we die in the body, you can see there's a separation between the spirit and the soul and the body. That is death. Physical death, the spirit and the soul are separated from the body, and the body still remains on the earth. It came from the dust. It will go back to the dust here. Now, when Elijah prayed, he said, God, let the soul come back to this body. That's what Elijah prayed. Lord, let this soul who departed, who disconnected from this body, bringing physical death, let him come back to this body so his body can live again. That was a prayer of Elijah. What happened, Ruth?
Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived.
The soul came back and he revived. This is resurrection for somebody who's dead and come back to life again. That's resurrection that Elijah did. The same happened to Elisha with the widow of Zarephath. Now Jesus did one. Let's go to Luke chapter 7, verse 11. And this one is different from Lazarus. Now we can see many resurrections happen in the Bible. But those people were not buried yet. They were just dying. They'd be on their bed, they'd be in the hospital bed, whatever. The soul come back and they begin to live again.
Now, it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd.
Mm.
And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out.
A dead man.
The only son of his mother.
They were taken to the graveyard.
And she was a widow.
Mm-hmm.
And the large crowd from the city was with her.
Yes.
When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin. And those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his
Jesus
people.
Jesus spoke and the boy came back to life. The question we need to ask, who is Jesus? He spoke and the dead came back to life. Lazarus died, body decomposed. Jesus spoke and he came back. And Jesus revealed himself to that situation. I am the resurrection and the life. Mean, who will raise you from the dead? That is Jesus himself. He who believes in me will never die, and I will raise him at the last day. This is the assurance you have, and I, the day we leave this earth, one day, Jesus will raise us from the dead. What is the difference between Lazarus and Jesus? It is written here, Jesus at the cross. Let's talk about Jesus now. We talk about Easter, right? The soul and the spirit of Lazarus, when Jesus spoke, come back inside the grave, and Lazarus resurrected inside the grave. And then he came out when we saw him physically. Now at the cross, when Jesus was crucified, in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, Jesus said, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. There is a difference between the two deaths. Lazarus died because he was sick, but Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down and I take it back. Let's go to John chapter 10, verse 18. It's important we understand this Easter we are talking about, this resurrection of Jesus.
No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again.
Can you imagine?
This command I have received from my Father.
No one takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down and I have
power to take it back.
To take it back. What does it mean to take it back?
Power over death. Power to come back to
okay.
life.
Go to John chapter 2, verse 19. Now you understand what Jesus said to the Pharisees when he came to the temple. I give my spirit, I can take it back. Jesus said clearly in John chapter 2, verse 19. Listen to what he says.
Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up.
Destroy this temple, my body. I mean this body, it was a temple. Who dwells in the temple? God. Not the temple of wall of Solomon, but the temple of his body he was talking about. Destroy this body. In 3 days, I will raise it up. That's what Jesus said. I lay it down, I have power to take it back. I am the resurrection, I am the life. That's the Jesus we believe. What does it mean? We're talking about what?
Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days.
And they were focusing on the natural, on the building.
But he was speaking of the temple of his body.
Temple of his body. I want you to understand that. Hope. If Jesus said his body is a temple, Jesus is an embodiment of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. It's God himself. But you and I, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So, if we destroy this temple, God will raise it up. When you have Jesus, when you have Holy Spirit, you have eternal life. God dwells in you. You become the temple of God. But Jesus said, destroy this temple, I have power to raise it up. Now, let's talk about Jesus here. Let me move you back. Jesus was buried, like Lazarus, he was in the tomb 3 days, 3 nights. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. The difference between the two, Lazarus came back to life with a normal body. He came back to life with a normal body. And after, he died like all men died. All the people that were raised from the dead, resurrected, they lived, and after one time, they die again. But the case of Jesus is different. The case of Jesus, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Let's talk about resurrection of Jesus. Colossians 1, 18. Now, this is the area that concerns you and I. This is the question we talk about, the resurrection of the last day.
And he is the head of the body, the church, mm-hmm. who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence.
Why we call the firstborn from the dead?
Because his resurrection was different.
Which kind of resurrection is he talking about? It's not Lazarus' one. This one is completely different. When Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, what happened? No human being will see him. Jesus appeared by revelation to his disciples. He was in the body of glory. Jesus can enter without opening the door. And disappeared. And when he rose from the dead, the disciples refused to believe, and he told them, because they only know natural death. But this time, Jesus rose from the dead appeared to the women. They didn't believe. And Jesus came to the midst of them and said, and greet all of them, peace be with you. And they saw him. He said, touch me. A spirit has no flesh and bones. It was his body crucified they saw, with the holes, with the pain. But that body was not natural body. It was a body of glory. Jesus can appear, can disappear, and he ascended back to heaven.
Like he appeared on the way to Emmaus.
Exactly. On the way to Emmaus, he appeared to two. That's the drama we saw. But they didn't believe. They think physical death is the end of everything. Why are we so much conditioned to believe that when you die, it is over? And that's the greatest mistake people are making today. If a holy person, a believer, dies, only in body, but he continues to live in the spirit with God. He may not relate with you only physically, but the Bible says he's alive. When Jesus referred to Abraham, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God is not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. Now, let me talk about something. What happened? I said everybody who died naturally in the Bible and was raised from the dead, all of them, they died finally. They go back to the dust, everybody. But Jesus, after 40 days, Jesus ascended to heaven and sat at the right hand of God. The other people, what happened to other people? What happened now if a believer dies in the natural? Where will he go? That's the question we are talking about. Before we talk about believer, I'm talking about unbeliever. I hope you can see me, right? You can see death is separation. If an unbeliever dies, what happened? The body go back to the dust. The question, his spirit and soul, where is he going? The scripture says clearly that if a person dies here and his body is buried, his soul and spirit will go to darkness. They go to darkness, waiting for the judgment of the last day. Jesus is talking about. Jesus said, he is the judge of the living and of the dead. Can you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1?
I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom.
Jesus will judge the living and the dead. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Let's go there again. Mean, on the earth, Jesus is the Savior. But don't forget, at the last day, he said, very well, come to me, Lord. I cast out demons. I prophesy. I heal people. Say, get behind me. I don't know you. Terrible judgment. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 40, 45, to the end, he said, at the last day, I will separate the book from the goat. I will say to you, come and take my kingdom. I was naked. You clothed me. I was hungry. You fed me. Come and enter eternal life. Jesus will be standing to judge every human being. No one comes to heaven except through him.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
That's why the Bible calls Jesus the judge of the living and the judge of the dead. Nobody can bypass Jesus. If you ignore
when it says the judge of the living, it means that even now, whilst we're alive on earth, it's only God who can judge the motive of our heart.
Wait a minute. It means at the resurrection, both the saved and unsaved, everybody will rise from the dead and appear before him.
So that's what it means, the living and the dead.
Yes.
Meaning living in your soul and dead in your soul.
I'm coming to that. That's what I'm going to demonstrate here. We have the dead and the living. Such a person here, God say he's dead because he never born again. If a person is born on the earth naturally, and he dies naturally, for God, like a stillbirth, who died in the mother's womb. He never saw eternal life, never born again. As he came, he disappeared. But his soul and spirit go to this darkness, waiting for the judgment day at the last day. That's what the Bible says. That's why we preach the gospel for salvation, for eternal life, to bring awareness of life after life, of the truth after life. We should believe God for salvation. We should believe Jesus for eternal life. Don't forget, he said, many will come to me and say, Lord, 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 I prophesy, I heal the sick, say, I don't know you, you who practice lawlessness. He judges the fruit of the Spirit in our lives.
That's the heavenly currency.
That's the heavenly currency. So here, now, I want to go quickly and read here. The resurrection and condemnation of the just. Now, if the unjust die, the Bible says at the resurrection, there is a hell here. That's what Matthew 10:28 say. Do not fear the one who can kill the body, but rather fear the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hellfire. That is it. At that day, everybody who died will resurrect. You can see this person will resurrect in a new body and may end up in hell forever. Why? Because this body that is resurrected is a body of glory. That body will be there forever. There's no decomposition. We will be in the hellfire for eternity because our body is eternal. Eternally in hell. Eternally in torment. Eternally in punishment. That's terrible. Where do you want to spend eternity? Can you compare the lifespan here on earth to lifespan in eternity there, either in hell or in paradise? That's what the Bible says. So why do we value so much natural things and neglect eternity? Where will you spend eternity? That's what the Bible says.
And if we believe we're going to spend eternity with Jesus, then why don't we spend more time with him on this earth? Because we're going to go and be with him forever. So why don't we develop our relationship with him?
Because thank you.
Because one day we'll return to him and rest in him. Are now, you ready for that day?
Will you be ready?
Will you be ready?
Go ahead.
When the Lord shall come.
Are you ready now?
Be ready when the Lord shall come. I will be ready. I will be ready. I will be ready when the Lord shall come.
Can't you see the reason why? Don't wait to have eternal life now. It's offered freely. It's a free gift. You don't have to work for anything. You just have to believe and surrender your heart to Jesus with full repentance and embrace Jesus, believing his resurrection. The Bible says if you do, you receive eternal life today. That's what the scripture says. That's what Jesus said. It's so easy. But do you believe it with your heart that Jesus has risen from the dead, is able to give you eternal life if you welcome into your life now? That's what the Bible says. Now, when we are saved, this is what happened when we are saved. Our body is here in earth. I explained to you last time. But your spirit is connected to God because you have the Holy Spirit here. You have the Holy Spirit here. Means you have eternal life now, 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 now. When the Holy Ghost comes to you, he's sealed with you for eternity. Can you read John 14? John chapter 14, verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16.
And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever.
Oh, Lord, listen to that. He may abide with you forever. This means when you receive Holy Spirit, you have received eternal life. You receive the life of Christ, the life of God, which is life eternal. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, 12. He who has a son has life, eternal life. I mean, eternal life starts right here on earth. That's why Jesus said, even though he died in the flesh, he will never die. He will live forever. You continue to live in the spirit. This is eternal life. This is physical life. This one will stop for everybody, but this one will continue forever with God. This is the purpose of the gospel. This is the purpose of Christian faith, eternal life, not on earthly things. So now what happened when a believer in Christ Jesus leaves this earth? I call it departure. I don't call it death, because Jesus said, he who believes in me will never die. What happened to this person? The body is buried here. All the saints, everybody who goes to see the tomb, they're buried. But their soul and spirit are connected to God for eternity because they have Holy Spirit. They continue to live. Mean a Christian is only transmitted. He leaves this earth and continue to live here forever. There's life after life. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus said. Life after life, eternal life. So let's read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Let's listen to Apostle Paul, how he considered physical death. And let's go to Peter, two of them, we understand why they were not afraid of death.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race.
Mm-hmm.
I have kept the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness,
mm-hmm.
which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
Good. My verses say, I am poured out like a drink, and the time of my departure is at hand.
Oh, no, that's verse 6.
Verse 6.
For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand.
The time of my departure. He called death departure.
Mm.
Not death. Because who was talking? This man was talking. When they say my departure, the spiritual man, you say, I'm departing from this body. I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm departing to go to heaven. I'm departing to go with Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. with the saints, with eternal life with God in heaven forever. That's what the Bible says. That's why they were not afraid of any death. Physical death means that because this body will never go to heaven.
So when Peter said to Jesus, you have the words of eternal life, he understood by divine revelation that the word of Jesus actually is life to our soul and spirit forever.
Good. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Since you mentioned Peter, let's read Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15.
Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease.
Say my decease. My version say after my departure. You never, you say after my, some versions say decease, some death. But the Peter say after my departure. Because this body is a tent. It's not me. So, you remember the message Prophet Jesus taught everybody. Your real you.
Mm.
Your real self is not this body who's going to be buried. It's your spirit and your soul. That's your real. God always look at the heart. This is the one God looks at, not this one. When the judgment comes, God will look at your heart to see whether the Holy Spirit is there or not, no matter how this body is.
So the question is, are we living today in the light of eternity? Are we living today because of eternal life?
You can see this body will rise and has a body of glory at the last day. This is the promise of God.
Mm.
Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Let's go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. To understand what the Bible means about the resurrection of the last day. All the people, the saints that died before us, that left before us, were the prophet or believers. One day, all of us will rise, receive a body of glory, and stand eternity with Jesus. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2.
And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake.
Sleep. That's why we say, they're sleeping, they're not dead.
Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
You hear that? Some to everlasting life. Meaning when you raise from the dead, body of glory will be eternal life with God forever in heaven.
Mm.
Some to shame.
And everlasting contempt.
That's the one I showed you before. That's the reason. That's the hellfire here. Mm. He's talking about. This is that the one. The unjust. So which one do we want? When we are celebrating Easter, this is the meaning of Easter. It's not a religious organization or a feast. It's about you. It's about me. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, there would never be eternal life to anybody.
Mm.
You have to believe that Jesus rose from the dead for you to receive eternal life.
Mm. And you it's not about what you've done or you've not done. It's all about what Jesus did for you at the cross.
You have to believe the message of the cross. What at the cross, he shed his blood to bring forgiveness of sins.
And to make you fit for God, to make you fit for eternal life. There's nothing you could do physically in this earth to merit eternal life.
So, in conclusion, you to be born again is to have everlasting life.
Mm.
Before you are born again, you must die with Jesus and you must resurrect with Jesus. What does it mean? You must die to sin. You must die to forsake all sin and embrace righteousness. And when you receive Holy Spirit, you begin to live in him. In him we live, in him we move and have our being. Because I live, you live. The life of a Christian comes from God directly from the Holy Spirit. That's eternal life.
Because the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in an unholy place. So that is why our heart has to be cleansed and our heart has to be renewed and revived and our heart has to be delivered from sin. That is what Jesus came to deliver us from sin. Because sin is spiritual death. Death to our soul, death to our spirit. and it gives Satan legal right over us. But when our sin is forgiven, cleansed, that's when we can have that relationship and that fellowship with Jesus.
That's why we need to understand the divine significance of all these resurrection Easter. We celebrate the life of Christ. We celebrate the new life. We celebrate eternal life. If you believe it, you become partaker of that grace, partaker of that life, and the life of Christ begins to manifest in you when you have Holy Spirit.
Someone keeps asking a question, maybe like 10 times. What was the purpose for Jesus Christ to go and preach to the spirits in prison?
What happened? We have to distinguish before the revelation of Jesus and what existed before and after Jesus. The Bible says God brought a judgment in the time of Noah, in the time of the flood. Those spirits, those people, that's what he's referring to. That's what the Bible says in the book of Judges and in the book of Peter, that those spirits were captive because of iniquity. God sent judgment and everybody died by the flood except Noah and his family. 8 people were only saved. Now, those people never knew Jesus. Am I right? But God is a faithful God. Their spirit was captive. When you die, they were in darkness. This is what it means. And I said here, when they were here in darkness. They died, they left the earth, but they were in darkness waiting for the judgment to come on the last day. So when Jesus came, the Bible says, Jesus went to the earth, lower earthly region of the earth, to preach to them the gospel of salvation. That's what the Bible says. He went to preach the gospel to them, so nobody can say, I never knew Jesus, I never knew the gospel. That's the mystery, one of the mysteries of the Bible, that God gave them a second chance when Jesus preached the gospel to them. We don't know the outcome. The only judge is Jesus. But that's what happened. Today, how do we know who is saved, who is not saved? Only Jesus knows. That's why only him can judge who is saved, who is not saved. Nobody can deceive him. He looks at your heart to know whether you have Holy Spirit or not. Somebody can pretend to be a Christian wearing big crown, big Bible, but the heart is far from God. The only judge of the living and the dead is Jesus Christ of Nazareth at the last day.
So the only judge of your heart is Jesus.
That's why no man
Whether your heart is alive or your heart is dead, the only one who can know that and judge that is Jesus Christ.
That's why the Bible says, don't rush to judge on the appearance. Ask God, the Holy Spirit, to get your past appearance to the heart so you know who the person really is.
Someone's asking, how may I know that I'm saved?
You can know. That's the easiest counsel you know. If you are saved, you have the peace of God in your heart.
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit will give you peace of heart and mind. If you are saved, you forsake the life of sin you were living before. If you are saved, you want to know God more. You want to hear God more. You want to fellowship with God more and please him by faith. And you have peace in your heart, in your life. And you trust and believe Jesus. That's the evidence of salvation. You must have faith to be saved before you become a Christian. You must believe in Jesus in your heart. You must believe his resurrection in your heart. You must repent. We forget that. You can't just say, accept Jesus. The Bible says, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. You must repent and forsake all unrighteousness and embrace Jesus and embrace his new life. Because Christianity is a lifestyle of trusting in God. And then Holy Ghost will help you to be like Jesus, to be saved.
I want to be saved. How can I receive the Holy Spirit? Someone's asking.
The question is so simple. The Bible says you have to believe in Jesus of Nazareth. Go to Acts chapter 2. We start reading from verse 35 to 38. That's why, what kind of gospel are we listening today? Is it gospel for eternal? They're the only one gospel I know. The gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of salvation, eternal life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the only gospel I know.
This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand.
Good.
Till I make your enemies your footstool. Mean
only through Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Go to Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Mean you must believe in Jesus Christ. When you believe in him, he said, he who believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from his spirit, from his innermost being. He said it referring to the Holy Spirit.
And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.
That is it. If you obey God, you receive the Holy Spirit. You can never be son of God if you don't believe in the Son of God. If you believe God as your father, you can receive a new birth when you believe in his son, Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. If you don't know there is the Holy Ghost, how will you receive it? In Acts chapter 19, they were worshiping, but none of them had Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And Paul said, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe? So when you believe in your heart that Jesus has risen from the dead, you come to righteousness and you receive Holy Spirit. So this message of today is all about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Mm. My dear brother, my dear sister. If your faith is based on prosperity, on things outside, it is time to reset your belief. That's why Jesus said, don't worry about what you eat, what you wear. Your Father in heaven knows that you need it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Mm. So check yourself, check your heart. If Jesus is history for you, when they ask him to be Lord over your life, after true repentance and faith, the Bible says you receive Holy Spirit in your life. And it's evidence of faith, of salvation, and you begin to have a new life. Before, the things you were doing before, you stop doing them. And you want to please God. You bring in righteousness. Examine your life in the past. You can see how far the journey of righteousness has changed you from the old life to a new life.
And it is a journey.
It's a journey.
A journey of righteousness. So
yes,
we believe we're on this journey together.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today to celebrate this wonderful Easter Sunday, all about the resurrection of Jesus.